With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Tim Kelly met with the media yesterday, Texans offensive coordinator, and was asked about Titus Howard and how is Titus Howard's move to guard going, Tim Kelly?
Yeah, maybe. I think we're going to do whatever is best for the team. That's one of the good things about Titus is that he's got the ability to play multiple positions. And right now, the best offensive line unit that we have, or the best offensive line group that we have, is with him playing guard. So he's getting better every week. I know probably the analytics don't necessarily reflect that. We can have a different conversation about some of those analytics later. But from what we're seeing, he's becoming more comfortable in there because it's different. It gets on him faster. The type of player you're playing is different. Just the little nuances that go along with playing that position in the NFL are different than anything he's done in his career. So he's adjusted well, and just like everybody, we all need to continue to improve, but he's trending in the right direction.
Okay, so that's Tim Kelly, and we'll get to more. Tim Kelly's going to talk in a second about the difference between guard and tackle. Titus Howard, of course, right tackle last season, left guard this season. I liked his little snarky kind of drive-by on analytics right there. We can talk about – I'd like to know the analytics that are lying about the Texans' offense right now.
Yeah, I think that, sometimes, like, when it comes to Pro Football Focus or some of the other things, the grades – I really like a lot of the things that Pro Football Focus does. I think the grades sometimes tell an incomplete picture. But usually, if a guy is really good with those grades, he's a pretty good player. If he's really bad, he's not doing so hot. And there's some exceptions with all of that. But because whenever you're trying to grade a football play, you never know exactly what the rule is that given week. And sometimes the rules change from week to week for offensive linemen, how you're going to play a certain look, a certain front, how you're going to block this specific play. But I think with the naked eye, a lot of fans can see, okay, Titus Howard's had some bad snaps. Sometimes is it actually the center's fault, sometimes is it actually the guard's fault, perhaps. But he's had some bad snaps. I think in the run game, especially, that's where you really see his inexperience and his kind of lack of comfort level with what he's supposed to be doing in various spots. And it's been really ugly. It's been really ugly without talking specifically about any one element of the game. I think there's this little thing that Tim Kelly said, this little snippet of playing guard that I think captures what the issue is right now.
It's different. It gets on them faster. The type of player you're playing is different. Just the little nuances that go along with playing that position in the NFL are different than anything he's done in his career. So he's adjusted well, and just like everybody, we all need to continue to improve, but he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, that part, guys get on you faster.
Yeah, what was that?
It's a different type of athlete. Generally, like, the closer you get to the football, the faster the reads are. And, one, at tackle, you can take a little bit of a false step and you have time to make up for it. There's greater spaces. There's greater distance for the defensive end to cover. And you've got more room to make up. The angles are bigger. Inside, it's kind of like a kung fu movie in there where everything's very fast and precise and crisp, The punching, the fighting, everything is right there in front of your face. And I haven't seen Titus Howard show an adeptness to that kind of fighting. I think he's just, for lack of better terminology, you could just say he is built physically and psychologically to be an offensive tackle. He doesn't have that same nastiness, the same scrappiness, perhaps same of that close-in fighting ability that most guards and centers have. You know, the tackles are better athletes. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. There are a lot of tackles that don't have the personality traits to be a guard. And I think Titus Howard is one of those guys. He needs to get back out to where it can be more of a finesse game. And I'm not calling him soft or anything like that. It's just a different attitude. It's a different mentality.
As long as the Texans are in this mode where they're starting to shuffle guys to different positions, you know, Driscoll going to tight end is a different animal than Lonnie Johnson getting moved from safety to corner. I think it's a different category of position shifting, but clearly some of the things that they evaluated, I would think, during the bye week is, are we putting these guys in the best position to not only be most successful for themselves, but be most successful for the team? As long as they're in that mode for the bye week, Seth, are you surprised that Titus Howard is still at left guard for this football team right now?
No. The other thing that Tim Kelly said there, and I think the point he was trying to get across, I think if Tim Kelly could speak really openly and honestly about it, I think he would say, yeah, Titus Howard is better as a tackle. The problem is with the composition of our line right now, we've only got so many offensive linemen, and it's a lot better to have Charlie Heckett tackle than it is to have Charlie Heckett guard. Like, it's not, you're not hurt as much by having Titus Howard at guard as if you move Charlie Heck inside, or if perhaps he had to play, I don't know, Cole Toner or somebody like that, or Jimmy Morrissey more often whenever what's-his-name comes back. Justin Britt. I think what he said was that that's our best configuration for right now. They're trying to make do with what they have.
Yeah.
And obviously, he can't come out and say that. Like, if Tim Kelly were to be completely, brutally, 100% honest, I think he might say, look, the guys we have available to us right now aren't that good at football. And we're trying to put the best five out there that we can. Ideally, yeah, we'd be in a world where we would have moved Titus Howard back to tackle a while ago, but we just don't think we're there right now.
I mean, part of me wants to say, do you agree with his assessment? But then part of me is like, who? Like, honestly, like, there's not a good combination, right? Like, does it matter?
I don't know, if
you're going to have a bad combination out there anyways, why not put your former first-round pick somewhere where he can actually develop into something?
I think what he would say is, like, do you really want me to put Max Sharping back out there? Is that what you're asking for? I think that's what they think right now, is that I guess maybe just Titus Howard is not good, but Max Sharping is even worse, and that Charlie Heck can get by at tackle, and Jerron Kearse can get by at tackle. We need guys that can just get by at this point.
Seth, if you're one of those fans that, if you are in the school of thought that Davis Mills should start over Tyrod Taylor because this season is a big nothing and you should just develop young players, then the answer is yes. I should put Max Sharping back out there at guard instead of Justin McCray, who's been in the league forever. You know,
but just, I think that's where it gets back into, okay, at some point this year, Davis Mills is probably going to play again.
Yeah.
Like, what's best for – what's more important to develop, your young quarterback or your young offensive lineman who's already passable at tackle, and next year, if you feel like it's time to compete again, you can move him to tackle?
Yeah.
I think that right now their feeling is probably, all right, whether it's Davis Mills or Tyrod Taylor, we got to try to get something going with this quarterback and try to have some semblance of a credible offense to at least develop some of these other guys.
I ran into Landry in the hallway, Seth, and we were laughing because we were talking about Kelly Stafford in the previous segment, Stafford's wife who threw a pretzel at a fan. Landry said she should be banned from stadiums for the rest of the year.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? If she were a normal person,
she would
if
be.
She were just somebody, some person on the street, yeah, she threw a pretzel at a fan.
She,
if you get caught dumping a beer on somebody or something, I'm guessing you're banned for at least a little while, right?
Well, you're at least thrown out for that game. They just moved her to another part of the stadium. Landry's point was actually a good one. You know what Landry is not a fan of? The fan fights that wind up on Twitter these days, you know, the 1 or 1.5 minute videos of fans from different teams just start brawling with each other. He said that's a dangerous thing to do, throw a pretzel at somebody. You could start a big fight like that. Someone could get hurt.
You asked earlier if my wife had ever done anything obnoxious at a game, and to my knowledge, not, although she claps a little loud for some people's likings.
Right.
You know, not screaming or anything. She has a loud clap. My brother is a different story. And my brother, as a younger man, was pretty wild, but he also had a pretty good penchant. Like, the entire time we would grow up, anytime anybody was doing anything bad, my brother could, like, sniff when it was about to go really far south, and he got the hell out before he got in trouble. Other people would get in trouble, and he wouldn't get in trouble.
That's a skill.
So that happened at a game once, I know, where he came with a bunch of his friends to a Jaguars game, and they got there was an opposing fan in the stands, and they didn't take kindly to it, my brother and his friends. So they basically, three of his friends were detained in the stadium jail. My brother got off scot-free. Like, my brother saw the security guards coming and got out to the other side of the aisle and gone after that. But this is the best thing about my brother was from the time I was in the NFL onward to this day, he's always looked out for me because he knows if I get in any kind of trouble for something, it's the kind of stuff that can hit the news.
Yeah.
So at the Bills game, I was at the Bills game, you know, in the press box. My brother,
the Bills Texans game in week 4 this year.
Yeah, the Bills Texans game at the Bills. Yeah, my brother and all his friends had kind of like a mini high school reunion. They went to the Bills game, so it was him and like seven of his friends. And by the second half, things got out of hand. So I called on my brother. I was like, "I'm going to go meet you wherever they were. They were in they were indoors, like at the club level on the other side of the stadium. It was kind of a haul to get over there.
Yeah,
but who the hell cared
right.
by the fourth quarter? So I got there. And I'm having a beer at this game that I'm supposedly working with my friend and his brothers. They've been drinking for 48 hours, and it came to pass that a young lady, by young I mean probably maybe 52 or 53 years old, over at the next table was drunk as hell and started loudly proclaiming that she would trade sex acts for a kitchen remodel because she was having a hard time getting anybody to come out to her home to remodel her kitchen. So one of my brother's friends was game for this experience, and he said, "I can do." He started reeling off his home improvement.
Guy's never even touched a hammer before.
Yeah, so this guy's got no intention, mind you. Like right. he's completely just having fun. But the woman comes over and starts screaming about like how great it's going to be and what she's going to do for him. Like as she starts doing this, my brother. I was standing kind of close to her. My brother, without even realizing, my brother grabs me and physically moves me out of the camera shot for like whoever would have been filming at that point
or
anything.
Brother.
He's like, my brother who's been drunk for 48 hours at that point is like, we got to get Seth out
Instinct.
Of the picture. Yeah. Like he might as well have had like a Secret Service earpiece or something. Like
IFP.
Move Mr. A.
That's great. That is great. That's good. That's a good brother, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
But boy, those Buffalo women, they're wired different. I tell you,
it sounds like it.
It was the funniest thing was that I don't think she was joking. That's when it got real. Everybody was like, "Oh, she's being funny."
Okay.
Like, "Oh no, wow, I think she really wants her kitchen."
Was she good looking?
If everybody's got a type.
Okay. All right. There you go. That's the answer. All right. What was AJ Hinch's sales pitch to Carlos Correa yesterday? If you haven't heard, the two of them sat down and broke bread. That's next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. It's a Football Friday. Texans Titans Sunday, noon kick, 9 a.m., Texans countdown. The Astros still in the news, and Carlos Correa and A.J. Hinch sitting down to a... I'm guessing they were just sitting down to reminisce about the good times. You know, talk families, talk...
What if Hinch tried to play it that way? Like, oh, you're a free agent. Gosh, you know what? I didn't even realize that. Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Then he even went to the extent of taking out his phone. He's like, are you sure you're a free agent? Let's Google most... top free agents. You are a free agent, huh? So if that's the direction the conversation went, Seth, what do you think AJ Hinch's sales pitch is to Carlos Correa right now? I mean, Detroit is not the sexiest, glitziest market in the world, and I think for a couple of years now, most of us have thought that if Carlos Correa is going to leave the friendly confines of Houston, Texas, that it's going to be to go somewhere that helps build his brand further, either the New York City market or the Los Angeles market, maybe Chicago, I don't know, but L.A. or the West Coast or New York seem to be the ones that have been discussed. Maybe Texas, Dallas, to Arlington to go play for the Texas Rangers.
It's yeah. But
Detroit seems like you'd need a pretty good sales pitch.
You'd need a good sales pitch, and I mean, you look at just by World Series standard alone, the Astros right now are 8-1. To win the World Series, whereas Detroit is, I believe, 50-1 to win the World Series.
Sounds about right.
The vast, vast gap there between those two. I think for would Hinch address the fact that Correa seems to, at least we speculate that Correa wants to be in more of a marquee spot, like a New York, like a L.A. or a Miami, or like a place with a little bit of glitz. And maybe that's not entirely fair. Maybe they were basing that on the fact that, you know what, his wife is his wife has at least a proclivity towards, you know, social media and everything, and she was a pageant competitor and all that. He hired the agent of A-Rod, who's not even really a baseball agent. He's more of an entertainment agent.
That's the biggest tell to me. What you just said there. You know, forget about Daniela for a second. That he hired Alex Rodriguez's agent, whose core business is not necessarily sports.
Right.
That's a big tell to me.
Yeah, so I think that it has to come back to, for Correa, and I think anybody maybe that played for that Astros squad of especially 2017, 2018, 2019, they had a certain culture and an atmosphere about them that all those guys said was very unique to the Astros. And if you're trying to compete with New York or L.A. or anywhere else, you're not going to compete on the glitz appeal of the city if you're talking about Detroit. No. But I think you can sell maybe culture. You got to become a little bit like Jack Easterby almost. You got to sell this guy on a vision of what this team will be like, and that maybe Hinch is trying to replicate that same feeling there in Detroit, and that he really needs Carlos to be a part of it, and that Carlos. And I think this would be the big thing, that maybe in trying to appeal to Carlos's ego, he was a young guy in 2015 that was part of that group of guys that kind of transformed everything. Where now he could be the same way a Brian McCann or a Justin Verlander was for this team. He can be the veteran player that comes in and shows guys how to be true professionals.
Yeah,
shows guys how to actually win a championship.
That's what I wonder is part of Carlos's calculus with this. Maybe not a preference, but something he's not averse to, something in which he would talk himself into a situation, whether it be Detroit. I think the teams that are on the odds board for Carlos Correa that fit what you're talking about are Detroit. I think Minnesota is on the board for him. I think the Rangers. Those would be places where if Carlos wants a challenge of being the catalyst for a rebuild and getting, you know, the challenge of taking another young nucleus and taking it to the next level, if that's part of what he's embracing, if that's something that invigorates him, then he I don't think he'd have a big problem going to Detroit or to the Rangers or to the Twins at all.
So if you look at the odds boards that had the Tigers as the favorite, like that would seem to suggest, if people have any kind of knowledge when they're putting together, I mean, is it as simple as the Hinch connection? I mean, is that the fact that the Detroit's willing and able to spend? It seems like that's a connection. I'm trying to think of various other instances where a player, a baseball player especially, is lured as much by the manager of the baseball team.
Yeah.
Like that's not a typical thing that goes on in sports, much less baseball especially, where the individual player's performance has very little to do with the management, you know?
Yeah.
It has a lot more to do with either yourself and the surroundings than the guys around you. I feel like that's a little bit of a reach to think that the manager has that much sway over what usually ends up being a dollars and cents agreement.
And I think that's what this is going to be. Like I think Carlos Correa has made it pretty clear that if you're the team offering the most years and the most money, that's probably who's going to get his services.
Yeah.
But things like this, things like sitting down with AJ Hinch, what if the Tigers and the Rangers offer virtually the exact same contract? You know, then maybe it's a tiebreaker, Seth.
And also, and that's where too. Like, and I hate speaking for somebody's wife or anything, but you never know how these decisions are made. But I would imagine that Daniela, being from Texas, would probably be cool with sticking around Texas, you know? I have no idea, versus playing up in Detroit. Like, that does become a little bit more intriguing, the Rangers, that Texas aspect of it. Now, why would the Tigers be the favorite because of the AJ Hinch connection? I think the answer is, it's because if AJ Hinch really wants Carlos Correa, that AJ Hinch is the one that is telling management, like, no, you guys don't understand. We need this guy because such and such and such and such. That's when the dollars and cents make the most sense because AJ Hinch has convinced the Tigers that this is the guy you really need.
Well, look, this is going to be a huge investment for whatever team goes after Carlos Correa. You would think that other than the Astros themselves, the Tigers are going to have the best intel on what Carlos Correa is all about. Of all those teams, of the Yankees and the Rangers and the Mariners, I mean, there's probably some former Astros on these rosters somewhere that played with Correa at some point, maybe. I'd have to go look at the rosters. Nobody's going to have better intel on Carlos Correa other than the Astros than the Detroit Tigers will. His manager for the entire time he's been in the big leagues, other than Dusty Baker, was AJ Hinch. So they're going to have some really, really good information on Carlos Correa.
I would like it. This would be the one last parting gift that AJ Hinch could give to the Houston Astros. Let's say hypothetically that Carlos's mind is made up and he's not coming back to Houston. So that ship has sailed. It would be that. What if the Yankees have an offer on the table and Hinch and Correa are basically like, listen, Carlos, we can't sign you, but we can help drive the price up for the Yankees. So let's get ourselves into a little bit mock bidding war here. And AJ drives the price up another $5 million per year on the Yankees. That'd be awesome.
It would be
great.
That
would just be the best.
It would be great. You know who you
should... he'd be doing is he would be doing Carlos a favor, but he'd also, by extension, doing the other teams in the AL a favor by a little bit by hamstringing the Yankees a little bit more.
You know who used to do that back when there were multiple wrestling companies bidding against each other? Vince McMahon used to do that if he knew that a guy was leaving to go work for Ted Turner and the other organization. He would say, well, at least let me give you a huge offer so that Ted Turner's got to spend more money on you. He would
That's
do that.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. Yeah.
He would drive the price up. That's a nice parting gift. All right. 713.
He seems like a complicated person.
Vince
McMahon. Yeah.
As complicated as it gets if you talk to people that have worked for him for a number of years.
In some ways he screws over the athletes, but and then in other ways he just like takes care of some of them for life. He has a weird loyalty / like cutthroat businessman mentality and tries to balance the two.
Nobody that has left on the people that have all left on bad terms. Somehow he ends up making up with them and bringing them back to the company
really?
At some point.
Really?
Yeah. It's a crazy business. It's
one of those things where almost like where you live in this world of like these crazy storylines, fictional storylines, that somehow it starts to filter over into real life.
The lines
where
get
you're
blown.
Like, okay, my standard. It's like sometimes, Sean, I'll make excuses for myself by like looking at things Tony Soprano has done and be like, well, you know, I mean, this is nothing compared to what Tony did. Look at the way he treated his family.
I actually bought and read a business management book that was based on Tony Soprano's management techniques. I'm like, it's making a lot of sense. I'll tell you what,
if you could master just the like, I'm not going to take your BS stare, like being able to stare at somebody and letting them know, like, that you'll sit there and stare at them all day long, that's a hell of a technique
right
there.
It is, man. It is. All right. Texans and the Titans this Sunday. Seth and I will get on the record some keys, some things to watch for in the game on Sunday between the Texans and the Titans as we wrap things up here on a Football Friday is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Football Friday, Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Texans-Titans, Sunday, noon kick. You can pretty much set noon kick in your calendar for most of the rest of the year for the
Sean,
Texans. Yeah, no, it's true.
Potential for a surge here.
We're going to have a surge. But it's true. Most of the kick, other than when they go to San Francisco, these kickoffs are all going to be nooners.
Sean, someday, trust me, the Texans will be good again, or at least relevant somewhat.
Yeah.
Trust me. And there's going to be a part of me that's like, ugh. I got to mess up my schedule.
Right.
Like, I got such a nice routine going. Like, almost every single week at noon, boom, there we go. Done. get my catch up on the rest of the league, do my little TV bit I do on KHOU, and I'm to bed. These late afternoon slots or these Sunday night games and Monday night games, they mess up your whole
routine.
Dude,
I don't know.
Trust me, everybody. You don't want it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We were in Green Bay last weekend. That 3:25 kickoff came in very handy on Sunday morning.
Oh, boy, that is nice. Yeah.
very handy.
That's true. I'm not – you know what? I can't sleep in, so I've never really been able to appreciate – I'm somebody that any day of the week, if I go to bed at 3 a.m., I'm up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So, like, when stuff gets started late on the weekend, I get antsy.
Yeah. No, see, here's the thing, Seth. I normally don't sleep in either, but I got bombed on Saturday night up in Green Bay.
So. No, I'm telling you, that's my problem, though, too. I can't sleep through a hangover.
Yeah.
I wake up with a headache at 6 a.m.
Okay,
yeah.
That's rough. Okay, so here's what I'm hoping for this weekend, for this Texans-Titans game. I have a power ranking of two scenarios. My first thing that I'm hoping for is a win. I hope the Texans get a win. I'm rooting for them to win because I am not a believer that you have to have the number one overall pick this year. There is not a Trevor Lawrence in this draft. I don't even know that there's a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance in this draft. So I want them to win some games here, and then they can let the chips fall where they may with the draft. If you're worried about them being near the top of the draft, I don't think rooting for them on Sundays is going to do anything to help avoid the fact that they probably will be picking in the top five.
You are hereby released from having reservations about cheering for Texans wins. Yeah. And here's why, everybody. Two reasons. One, they're almost guaranteed to have a top five draft pick. It's almost guaranteed.
98% chance, according to the analytics.
And two, this year, the way the draft is falling out, it's a crapshoot like no other.
Big time. It's always
a crapshoot, but this is even more so this year. There's not a certain single identifiable quarterback that you got to have or anything like that. So just cheer for them to start establishing their little culture or what have you, and just enjoy cheering for the Texans. You're not gonna mess it up and all of a sudden get seven straight wins out of the Texans.
That's right.
Enjoy the one or two that they get along the
way. And need I remind people, this is the Titans. Like, we're supposed to hate the Titans. They stole our football team back in the day. Seth, I'm sure you've got a myriad of reasons why Tennessee is a horrible, horrible place that could trigger Texan fans to do the right thing and root for their team to win this week.
Yeah. Well, and we'll start with the fact that they booted Sam Houston out of the state when he was governor for no other reason than apparently, I don't know, he may not have treated his new bride all that well. Not in like a violent way or anything. I don't know. These scandals weren't written about back then. I think the Sam Houston, who had a taste for the old booze, he could tip one back, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like guys do. Like guys like to have some.
That you're doing the pinky thumb tip one back thing as you're saying.
Because it was he was a dignified drinker. Yeah. He liked to enjoy a whiskey or seven every now and then.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Was his nickname on the Indian reservation on which he lived Big Drunk? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Did he abandon his Native American wife? Yes, of course he did. But still, it was it was a different time back then.
Right.
But they booted him out for no other reason than, I don't know, maybe he might have acted, by their puritanical standards,
sure,
a little ungentlemanly.
Right.
But anyway, there was a scandal. They booted him out, and he came. And
and that's why you should root for the Texans in this football game this weekend.
Because they couldn't handle a guy that actually knows how to party.
Exactly.
Okay? A guy that they can't handle a guy. Every time somebody from Houston comes into Nashville and kicks their ass, they get all uppity about it. Like our tight end there, Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
They can't even build windows to hold Ryan Griffin in.
Busted out a window when they drafted multiple tight ends.
Yeah.
Or that might have been when they drafted Cahal Wearing. I think a lot of us in retrospect would have busted out several windows if we knew what Cahali Wearing was going to turn into. Seth, here is scenario number two I'm hoping for. So again, scenario number one is a win. Scenario number two that I'm hoping for, a Texans loss with no turnovers and no or very few penalties. I want David Culley to have to come to a press conference and explain a loss without being able to lean on turnovers and penalties as the reason. I want him to look me in the eye and have to tell me who sucks on this team.
I guess I'm the opposite, Sean. I want them to win but with a boatload of penalties. And
I'm fine with that, like, too.
I want them to be no. But then I want them to have to acknowledge that. I want there to be a question, like, how on earth did you win while having several penalties? I thought it was a damn near impossibility.
Yeah.
So I think a clean game would be it. If anything, I'll be honest with you, Sean. Hmm. I feel like if this team were to fixate too much on no penalties and no turnovers, they're going to end up even worse than they already are. Like, what you don't need,
play.
They're already ineffective. You don't need a bunch of ineffective Boy Scouts out there.
Right.
You know, go play some aggressive football. If you have a penalty, let it be an aggressive penalty. But the stuff that some of the penalties that are also woven into the actual play on the field are some of these procedural penalties.
Yeah.
That's the hallmark sign of a team that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know what the hell you're doing, it's hard to execute football plays.
So do you think they cover the 10.5 this weekend?
I think they do. I would give the because more than anything, it's not like a huge vote of faith that I think the Texans might not get beat by more than 10 points. I think that.
Do you watch them on the road this year? I should be asking, do you think they score a touchdown?
I never did my research about consecutive road games without a touchdown, but they got to be getting close. That team, the Cincinnati Reds of 1933, that NFL team that has the record for, I think it's 6 consecutive games without a touchdown.
Yeah.
That includes home and away.
Yeah.
One of our listeners yesterday said that they had 4 consecutive road games without a touchdown in that season. So I'm guessing it's somewhere around there.
Yeah.
How many games has it been for the Texans?
It's been 4 full games. It's
without
a touchdown on the road. Yeah. Yeah. Buffalo.
Some kind of
Buffalo. Buffalo shutout. Indianapolis 31-3. Arizona 31-5. And then Miami last week, 3 field goals.
So the Cincinnati Reds football team did at least that. They might be. Reach out to our friend Aaron Reese. He's good with this
stuff. I was just going to say, where is Aaron Reese when we need him? He's money with this stuff.
He listens to the show. At least he claims he does.
No, he does. He does. So you think they actually – well, did you change your mind after I reminded you they haven't scored a touchdown in 4 straight road games?
No, they're due.
Okay.
Sean. They're due. That's my excuse for everything with the Texans this year. They're due.
They have 10 touchdowns in their last 8 games. Since the opener, in the 8 losses, they've scored a total of 10 touchdowns. Holy smokes.
They're due.
Oh,
there's always a team every year, Sean, where at the beginning of the season you say, how could this team ever – hey, you know what, Sean?
Mm.
Look at the Chiefs' defense early this season. You thought, this might be one of the worst defenses in the league. The Texans said, hold my beer. And then, actually, you know what? I don't want to pick on the Texans' defense. But compared to the Texans' offense, the Texans' defense is about to be enshrined in Canton.
17th in DVOA.
Yeah.
They're middle of the pack.
Yeah. I'm not going to pick on Lovie Smith in that defense. Lovie Smith's doing a hell of a job with severely inadequate weaponry.
He is.
I do think that, and I was kind of joking, the Kansas City defense was really, really bad. Now, all of a sudden, these last 3 games, they've been pretty damn good. They have more talent than the Texans do. I think Tyrod Taylor looks more like his normal self. I think the first 6 quarters of this season was a little bit of a fluke, how good he was. I don't think you're going to get that version of him back, especially because your 2 starting offensive tackles aren't back either. But I do think you get a better performance out of Tyrod Taylor this week.
Just to close out the week, we've not revisited the call of Ross Tucker's fat guy touchdown on the Thursday night game from last week. I know it was Thursday.
Yeah.
It was Thursday night football last night. The Patriots destroyed the Falcons. But Thursday night, a week ago, Ross Tucker was on the call for the Dolphins and the Ravens, which included a fat guy touchdown that got called back because the fat guy wasn't allowed to touch the ball.
He had lined up as a guard, basically, but somehow caught the ball and ended up scoring a touchdown that would be called back. It was one of the great highlight plays of all time if you're into fatties. And you know, no offense to that player. What's his name? He's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah, I'll go with it. I forget his name.
So,
they'll say it in the play-by-play.
By O-line standards,
Robert
he's not
Hunt.
Really. Yeah, he's not all that fat by O-line standards. So it was just, it was honestly a really incredible play, the way he reached out for the touchdown. And Ross, it was not lost on Ross
Tucker. It was not. So let's play this here, because Ross Tucker, I know the Texans are not good, but this is the exuberance and jubilation I like to go into the weekend with, and a reminder that we should all love life as much as Ross Tucker loves life.
Just inside the 7, shotgun. Tungavailoa, deep drop, fading, tosses, catches made, rumbling for the end zone. Robert Hunt coughs the football up at the 1. a flag on the play.
But why aren't they throwing the flag? It's illegal touching. He lined up at right guard. You can't throw him the ball.
And Hunt goes airborne with the extension.
He scored! He scored!
Westry gets him with a tackle. He went tumbling forward on a somersault.
I love my life.
The officials are gathered together, and here's Torbert.
Illegal touching of the pass by the offense, number 68.
Really?
It's a 5-yard penalty if he's third down.
It's fun, it's just not legal.
But he did that so naturally. He's laughing in the huddle. He caught that and ran with it like it was designed for him. That guy, somebody look it up. He must have played running back or something in high school. He caught it and followed the block and dove in. Almost got the touchdown. That was incredible. Now we got something exciting and fun.
Yeah, see, now that play was a week old. It's a week ago, but the Ross Tucker's exuberance right there is something we should all internalize and try to replicate, where he says, I love my life. He's laughing. Seth, if you were listening to that game in the car, the call of the actual catch was very normal. It was Ian Eagle on the call, and he's like, Tua Tagovailoa drops back. He throws it, and it's caught, and Ross Tucker just starts cackling. He's laughing. Like, if you're in your car listening, I go, why is he laughing? Like, why? Because you're not watching it. You're listening to it. It was really, really
that was
funny.
No, I think Ross does the appropriate amount of because Ross apologized to Ian Eagle afterwards for stepping on him, for talking over him. And
made
Ian Eagle's
call.
Like, no, that's like perfect in that moment. That's one thing I think Andre is good with that, too. Andre doesn't step on Mark unless it's like out of genuine either.
Oh, no.
Yes. Shock, amazement, fear, disgust, whatever it might be. You know, why Brock, why, all of those. He has a really good knack for just stepping in at the appropriate moment. But Ross is awesome to listen to him do color commentary. I wish he would get more opportunities, but I think it's one of those things where the suits don't realize that people do just enjoy listening to people who enjoy watching football.
Yeah.
Like Ross does not take it too seriously at all. He kind of just lets it all out there. And especially maybe in a bad game, it's even better to listen to him because he's just enjoying. He's kind of like Romo, just without the name and without all that cachet of being a quarterback.
Yeah, you feel like
he's really good at color.
You just feel like you're sitting with one of your buddies who knows something about football just watching a game. You know, that's how it is. Hey, real quick, a reminder, the 2021 Pro Football Pick'em, the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. You missed the Thursday game, but you still got a chance to pick all these other games this weekend. Text PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. You can win a grand. You can win $1,000 this week. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em.
And Robert Hunt was he was a lineman in high school, but he did play some receiver and a little bit of receiver and some tight end.
He played basketball in high school as well. Ian Eagle said that was a part of the call that didn't make it into our cut there, but he's obviously very athletic.
That's where, you know, a lot of the kids, this is, and I'm being serious. Usually I'm joking when I talk about this with the kids. A lot of the guys in the NFL were kind of like tall, lankier guys in high school. They were not big fat dudes in high school. Like, you shouldn't, like, your goal in high school shouldn't be to weigh 315 pounds unless you're naturally 315 pounds.
Right.
Like, that's so, like, a lot of these guys, they're you know, they put on some extra weight when they become men, but they're pretty damn athletic. Work on your foot speed, work on your athleticism, work on all that stuff.
That's good advice on the
don't
way out
get,
the door.
Don't get overly fat in high school.
Right. Get off the
Save
couch.
Save that
kids.
For after you're married.
Exactly. Seth, I'll see you 9 a.m. on Sunday morning for Texans Countdown, my friend.
Hottie toddy, whoop-de-doody, something other.
And antibodies. Yeah. Antibodies.
Antibodies as well. Yes,
yes. Thank you. All right, we're done. We are out of here. In the Loop is up next. We'll see you on Sunday morning for Texans Countdown. We'll see you on this show, 6 a.m. Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tiny box wood.
Have you ever eaten there?
Oh, yeah. I love my life.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.